Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The following is a GoPowerCat.com production.
The Kansas State men's basketball season ended 6 days ago with a loss in the NIT to Iowa. The K-State women, playing a season that had so much promise, came to its conclusion on Sunday with a loss to Colorado in the second round of the NCAA tournament. What awaits these programs next year? How do fans feel? We're going to get into all of that on today's edition of the K-State Insiders.
Welcome to the K-State Insiders, your Kansas State sports show, presented by Synergy Financial Partners. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Greetings from the Cats and Dogs studio. Almost forgot to add everyone. I got the open this time, and then I forgot to add people. Tim Fitzgerald, Brian Hanley, and Ryan Gilbert here for your festivities today. Glenn Kinley he's suffering from exhaustion, which happens in the media when covering the postseason basketball. He covers everything. He's everywhere. He's everything everywhere. I might have oversold that. Guys, I thought earlier in the year the K-State women's basketball team was Final Four worthy, or, you know, possible. They went out with a whimper in that second half against Colorado. Just a horribly disappointing end to a season of great promise. They scored 15 points in the second half in the NCAA tournament. That's a good way to lose. But they did it at home in a really advantageous position. This team, Brian, was just never the same after Yoki's injury in the middle of the Big 12 schedule. They just never found their own step.
No, they didn't get back to it. And that's nobody's fault. It's just unfortunate part of sports. You know, injuries happen, never did find their way. It started off really good. If you remember, you know, they went to Baylor and beat Baylor, and Baylor's a good basketball team. And they went there and won, and we thought, okay, you know, yep, they're going to keep this thing rolling. And for the most part, they did, but then it just came off the rails. It was like once she came back, it was like different roles had gotten defined, and they just could never find their way back to where they were at the beginning of the season. And it was disappointing. Obviously, yesterday, it just fell apart in the second half. It just completely fell apart.
Dude, Ryan Gilbert, I know you don't cover women's basketball for us, but boy, this season had promise. I was really hopeful we were going to get a good dose of news here in basketball season, because it became pretty clear the men's team wasn't going to do much noise in the postseason. But we had the women's team at Kansas State. Nope. One win, and then they're gone.
Yeah, and when you're hosting, right, that's a pretty easy path to win two games and move on. But, yeah, disappointing. Obviously, I was at Taco Lucha slinging drinks for the weekend, so I wasn't really covering the women's too much. But yeah, disappointing is the best word to use here for sure.
Did you sling them well?
You know what? I'll let the customers decide that.
You're worthy. You're worthy of at least $1 tip.
Right.
Trust me. It'll be fascinating to see what Aoka Lee does. She has another year where she could come back. she's certainly a first round pick in the WNBA draft. But now with the NIL, that closes that financial gap, or maybe overcomes it depending on the contracts. And there's a real feeling that she might be back. Brian, I didn't think the NIL would bring us things like this, but it does. We all focused on football and men's basketball, but now in some of these Olympic sports and, you know, women's sports, the NIL can really entice players to stay if they were going to leave.
Yeah, it absolutely can. The thing about it is that a lot of times people leave because they want to get started with their life. They want to start making money and that kind of stuff. But if you can stay in college and still make money, granted, people don't necessarily always like the school aspect, but you know what? That's a sacrifice that you can make to make some decent money. Then yeah, you're going to try to do that if all possible. And I don't want to say which way she should or shouldn't go. I mean, I think it would be great for Kate State. I actually think it would be great for her if she did come back, but whatever the case may be, we'll live with the results and we'll support her either way. But I think there's a strong case that can be made that Ayoka Lee comes back to K-State. Strong case.
Yep, I would agree. And I think it might be best for both parties. Here's a storyline. Folks, drop some comments over here in the comments because we're going to be more than open to some of these questions and comments. But our friend Caitlin says, why did Taryn Sides not play in the second half? And Gills, I know you were working, but the freshman point guard came in the first half, was really effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, off the charts effective. She was plus +8 on the you know, score sheet at halftime, playing 4 minutes. And, you know, you guys know the plus minus can be a hodgepodge of oddities and, you know, outside things that didn't really impact the player. This was her helping the K-State offense in a way that they really needed in this game. And then we didn't see her again until the final seconds when they were subbing out the veterans. I'm just going to say it. I think Coach Jeff Mitty screwed up. He didn't have enough faith. If you want to know why she didn't play, my guess is they didn't have enough faith in her to be big enough for the moment. While in the first half, she was big enough. I think they screwed up. I really do. And I've had a lot of women's basketball fans point out to me that, post the injury, coaches' rotation of players changed. And then when Lee came back, it's like the bench shrunk. He didn't play as many players. And, you know, sometimes a true freshman that, you know, the moment might be too big for her or him, but they don't know it. You know, they just go out there and play. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can help you. And boy, she was really good in that first half. And then just disappeared. I thought they would play her and Sundell together as, you know, two guards, which is a very effective way to handle the ball, particularly against pressure. But nope, we didn't see her. I was frustrated. I know fans were.
Well, here's my thought on it is that we talked about this all season with the men, is that if you got these freshmen out there, I mean, the guys that you have out there are turning the ball over continuously. You might as well get some freshmen out there and let them play and see what can happen, because what you're currently doing isn't working. And that was the case yesterday. What we were doing wasn't working. She was in the game. It was working. So it's just like, you know, and my whole thing of it, the moment's too big. Well, at least let them see if the moment's too big, because what was frustrating to me is that we just kept turning the ball over and there was no changes that got made. Yeah. There was nothing changed. I'm like, at some point we got to do something different. We can't just continuously miss shots and turn the ball over because we're never going to score any points. Well, guess what, fellas? We never scored any points. It's just, you know, it just never worked. We never figured anything out and we didn't try to change it. It was, I don't know. I don't want to be too critical, but I just thought it was frustrating.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you look at this isn't the first time that K-State's a postseason hoops tournament has ended because of a coach's decision to maybe not play somebody with Barry Brown in 2019. How many minutes did he play in that game with two fouls? And so, but also, guys, Mike McGurl, remember the season right before that? He had exceeded his entire season point total in one game against Creighton in the NCAA tournament. Like, you know, players can go crazy in those types of moments. And so, yeah, I mean, you would have loved to have seen a lot more of certain players, but it is what it is.
Yep, I agree. And let's backtrack to the men who lost at Iowa in another lackluster effort, another time when the other team appeared to want it more. A very comparable opponent, a very winnable game, even on the road. Gills, this team took the NIT bid and then didn't do a damn thing with it and acted like they didn't want to be there.
Yep. I think certain players wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But hard, you know, you've got to have everybody bought in if you want to win games in the postseason, whether that's the NCAA tournament or not. And so obviously Cam Carter's gone, Dorian Finister is gone. I think those are the two only real departures that we'll see this offseason. I think Arthur Kaluma's status is maybe still up in the air with the NBA, but you know, Jerome Tang's statement that he came out with on, I think, Saturday, you know, just wishing Finister and Carter the best of luck. The fact that he came out with that statement pretty much signals that the departures to the portal are done, unless something unexpected happens. And so, yeah, I mean, the Iowa loss was frustrating. And, you know, Tang can preach all he wants about his team wanting to play an extra day. You know, you get one extra practice, all that stuff as a group. You can preach that, but when you don't back that up on the court and your performance looks like that,
yep,
you might as well have just declined the bid altogether. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah. I mean, no. I think you're right. My thing about it was, is that play the guys that want to play, you know, right. I mean, play the guys that want to play. We've been doing this transfer portal thing long enough to know who's bought in, who's out, because you don't play a game and then the next day you jump in the transfer portal. Okay. Unless you've already decided to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. That just doesn't happen. Hey, I play a game on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm in the transfer portal. Goodbye. It doesn't happen unless you've already cashed it in, which that's fine. I go, but it's just what you said, Gills. It's like, take the guys and play the guys that want to play, that are going to be around, that are going to try to help you. If you're not going to do that, then what's the point of even going? And again, I know it's a rock and a hard place because you're trying to win, and maybe some of those guys might be your best guys, but at the end of the day, it was a horrible look. I know the coaching staff is probably frustrated because they're having to play guys that they know aren't going to be there, because they knew. They knew they're not going to be there, and it just becomes one of those things to where it was just a terrible look for Kansas State basketball.
Yeah, it was. It was really disappointing, and you know, Cam Carter was pretty quick to get in the portal.
Yes.
And I think it makes sense now that Cam hadn't been present for about a month. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing. The portal isn't magical. It doesn't fix you. Only you can fix you. If you don't have the skill sets or you're doing something wrong, fix it. The portal isn't magic. If players don't correct their shortcomings, they go to a new program, they'll be still doing the same stupid crap in a different uniform.
Well, and I just want to tap in real quick on that, Fitz, just and I'm not trying to step on any toes or over anybody, but being a former player, you couldn't be more right, Fitz, in saying that. And the only thing that we ever hear about the transfer portal are guys leaving. But you and the bigger name guys, you never hear about the transfer guys that go somewhere else and sit the bench just like they were sitting the bench right at the previous school. And I guarantee you 75% of the people that transfer that aren't playing go somewhere else and they don't play there either. And we never hear about those stories. So while the transfer portal is good for certain players, and I get that part, and guys having freedom, and I'm a believer in it. At the same time, if you don't improve just by going, just what you said, Fitz, going to another school, it doesn't change anything. And we never hear about that part of the transfer portal. We never hear a part, well, this guy can't dribble. Man, he transferred. Well, you know what? He still can't dribble. I mean, you just don't hear that kind of stuff. And I just, at some point, players got to be a little more smarter too. And, you know, just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean you need to take all opportunities, because all opportunities aren't the same and they all don't need to be taken. Just because you can transfer doesn't mean you need to. And I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just throwing that out there.
It was right there for Cam Carter. Jerome Tang was outspoken coming into the year that Kaluma, well, I guess now when Tomlin was gone, right? Kaluma, Perry, and Carter, those were this team's three big time players, right? It was there for Cam Carter, you know, throughout the entire offseason, after he was more of a role player in the Elite Eight run last year. they were outspoken. They said, hey, he's going to be a star in this league. It was there for him. And I'm not sure if you're going to get another opportunity at an SEC school, which is where he's probably wanting to go, just to just be that superstar. Now, maybe he's got somebody in his ear that, you know, that's there for him. But even if he has that opportunity to be the star, again, if you're dribbling it off your legs every possession, turning it over, it's not going to matter how much freedom you have in the offense. If you don't fix those things, that you've got to be, you know, Fitz, you've talked about this so much that these are the things you're not supposed to be fixing in college. These are supposed to be the things that are engraved in you throughout AAU ball and stuff like that. So the grass is not always greener in the transfer portal. Now with Dorian Finister, that's a completely different story. Correct. Playing time wasn't there. I get it. If you just want to play, man, by all means. But yeah, the Cam Carter one is a little more dicey. I do think it was more mutual. I'm not saying Tang ran him out or Carter just wanted out. I think it was mutual that things just weren't working out for whatever reason, but you definitely, that was evidenced in his play over the last month. You could tell something mentally was just not right with Cam Carter. And I think it all makes sense now that he was probably checked out.
They're both going to play somewhere. They just got to find their right fit. Mm-hmm. Cam needs to be well off the ball. He probably needs to transfer down where he can be a three more than a two. Dorian's going to be a good player for someone at a lower level. I mean, I think Dorian's a starter at a mid-major at the right school.
Yeah.
So I wish him a lot of luck. He's a really athletic kid, really good kid. But, you know, that was one of those signings when Tang and company came in. You just signed some guys, and it usually doesn't work out because in the spring signing, there's not much left. The only one I really remember working out is when Bruce arrived. He signed DJ Johnson, and that worked out incredibly well. But they also had the point guard. I'm totally spacing his name because he was a non-factor. And it's just that's what happens when we try to sign high school guys that late. Boy, you better get very fortunate and find something correct that nobody else noticed. But Gills are going to have to be in the portal quite a bit. What are they at? Four openings? Three openings?
Depends on Gasan. We believe he's coming back, but no official word there yet. But
what do you think are the biggest needs?
I think you got to get some help down low for Joel Colbert. That's obvious, right? Now, if you want Joel Colbert to be a 30-35 minute, starter, still he's going to need some depth behind him. If you think that Colbert's going to stay in that role of playing 20-25 minutes and be a solid rim protector, then you're going to have to go out and get somebody that's, going to be that Will McNair guy that you plug in for maybe a year as a senior, have him start. It doesn't matter what you want from that position. You're going to need somebody, whether that's a starter or a depth piece. So you're going to need some help there. I mean, if Kaluma and Gasan are both back, you don't need any help as far as that stretch forward goes. Like, you've got those types of players that you want playing in that five-out offense. Now, I don't know if that's I honestly don't know if that's going to stay or if they're going to just get rid of that and go to a new system. I don't know. I think it might depend on the players they get. But, guard position, I think you've got pieces there. Mikayla Bridge, I'd like to see him maybe more as the four. I know he can play the three, but let him go down low in the paint and just be strong, be dominant, bully his opponents. And so I think that you're probably looking at the wings and then the smaller wings, I guess, and then you're looking at the centers. But, I mean, again, I know I've talked about this plenty of times here. RJ Jones and Dede Ames and Mikayla Bridge, all these guys, Castillo's coming in next year. Do you want them to be prominent roles on this team? Or do you want to go out and get some older veteran guys in the transfer portal and have them be more of the starters? But when you do that, you hinder the development of those young guys. So I'm sure that those are maybe some of the conversations that this staff has had or have been having.
And Quez Glover, as of now, is returning, right? And with intention to play.
I believe so.
So that will be a veteran addition in the backcourt, and maybe that addresses something that they kind of lacked last year. I think David Castillo comes in, gives you a second point guard or a third point guard, depending on how you look at it. They need another big guy, no doubt about it. But I like this team when Gasan plays the post. I just do. I don't understand why they've totally abandoned that. He cannot play the four and be the threat that someone like Tomlin was, or in some ways even Buddy Rich, because that guy will get down low on you and just, break the rim. So I kind of like him at the five. Defensively, it's a little bit more of a challenge, but we'll see if they can find much. I think they're going to be much more aggressive. And Brian, here's a little insider tip I'm going to offer the K-State basketball staff, like they don't know this already, because when you go recruit guys like David Gasan from overseas, they're on a school visa. They can't accept NIL money.
Oof.
So under law, so they have to, you know, kind of scratch it out, or the program needs to accommodate around them. I was talking to my friend Michael Swain after our last edition of our TV show for this year, The Drive, and he said that KU, of course, found the way to get around it. You schedule a game overseas, and an NIL collective pays the player while he's overseas working. So you can pay him, like, go speak to this alumni group. There's 15 people. Go say hi. There you go. Here's a bag of cash. That's where we're at. But yeah, if you're from overseas, you can't take NIL money. And I think we're going to see a surge in some programs really trying to get overseas to find a few guys to alleviate or lessen the stress on their NIL budget. But Jerome Tang and company haven't shown any sign of that. They're very committed to, you know, kind of zeroing in on guys that they're familiar with and have a history with or have seen play quite a bit. And that's, you know, was a winning formula for 1 year and not so much for the second year. But Brian, the portal is like shuffling a deck of cards. It really is. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to come up aces, and sometimes you're going to be sitting at the blackjack table with sixes. I felt like that's what Jerome Tang was working with all season. He had a six and a three. He's struggling there. He couldn't get the right cards. It just didn't exist.
No, they didn't. It's just part of it. Unfortunately, that's kind of where we are. The problem, and I know a lot of K-State fans, because some had reached out to me, their issue is like, look, even with the struggles, K-State should have been able to put something together to make the tournament. And I think that's where the frustration comes in. It's like, look, with all the things that happened, they were talented enough and definitely had the coaching staff to be able to make the tournament this year. It's like we can't afford to take these steps backwards, you know, with the program. It's like we have to be a school that makes the tournament every year. That just K-State just has to be that. And unfortunately, it hasn't been. And this is one of those years. And this is, you know, kind of why people think the way they do maybe about K-State. They just got to make the tournament. Dipping into the transfer portal is going to help, but, you know, you can't miss 2 years in a row. And I know that might be saying, oh, we missed this year. Yeah, we did. You know, we didn't get all the things that we need, you know, and I'm not saying the kids we got were misses. I'm saying we didn't get the pieces to be successful. And we can't do that again this year. We got to go get the pieces to be successful. Fitch, you said it right. Got to have a post guy. Got to have a post guy that can do some stuff. You know, the way basketball is being played these days, you got to be able to go get that. We can talk about point guards and all that kind of stuff, and I get that. That's extremely important. But we got to get post guys that can run, that can defend, that, oh, by the way, we can throw them the ball and they can go score. You look at all these teams that are still left in the tournament. They have guys that can do that. Big, strong, athletic guys. Now, granted, they don't necessarily grow on trees. I understand that part of it. But, you know, it's just what has to happen. I'm sorry. We got to do that.
Yeah. There's going to be a remake coming. And I know this has been an interesting week for the men's basketball staff. Some distractions along the way. Just really unfortunate distractions. You know, they're in a phase now where they know they got to rebuild. There's a lot of questions about whether Jerome Tang is at Kansas State for the long run. Well, I think so, but we're going to get into that right after this break from our partners at Synergy Financial Partners. Great people doing great things. If you're an entrepreneur, yeah, don't just gloss over this ad. Make sure you go check them out.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the mission is to change the way Americans plan for their financial future. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
Welcome to this week's edition of the K-State Insiders, Fitz and Gills and Big B. We got one half behind us. And let's get into this. Ryan Gilbert, the Naquan Tomlin situation, we had all kind of agreed to move on and not let it linger and not keep bringing it up. But the university president, Richard Linton, keeps doing it. And he did it in a Manhattan Mercury article that came out over the weekend, or late last week, I guess it was, Thursday. Look, the Manhattan Mercury is doing its duty by writing a story. Do I think the story was newsworthy? I don't. But they were probably looking for something. But they did get Linton back on the record. They got a lot of engagement and clicks, so to speak, which people use it as an insult. No, that engagement is what everyone wants. You know, if you write a story, you want people to read it. But the problem here wasn't the Manhattan Mercury doing the story. It was the president offering answers to the questions, which he hadn't planned on doing, but couldn't help himself. Gills, I'm so exhausted by this. I thought we'd moved on, but here we are.
Yeah. I mean, what was it back when he gave out his first statement back in November when he released Naquan Tomlin, and that would be the final and only statement, right? And now there's been three since then, right? Mm-hmm. So I just, Fitz, you say it all better than me. So I don't have much to say, really. Just it's frustrating, and I can't imagine how this coaching staff is feeling. You know, they're trying to navigate the transfer portal. They're trying to do all this stuff with next season's roster, and they're just having to deal with a president that won't let something go. That, you know, and the fact that he doubled down, that article didn't give you anything. If you haven't read it, you know, go check it out. But it didn't give you anything new, right? It was just Linton. I could click on that article. I could tell you exactly what it was going to say. And by and large, it was just Linton, you know, stating his case once again. We didn't learn anything new from that. Certainly didn't change my mind. I don't think it changed your guys' mind as well. It's frustrating, man. I don't know what else to say, really, Fitz. You've been on top of everything, and I commend you, boss.
I will be dropping some more information at some point early this week at Wabash Station. I've got one thing I need to verify a little bit more, but there's a lot of things going on that haven't been written, and I'm going to share it behind our paywall so Richard Linton's friends can share it with him. Crazy. Big B, this is nonsense. This is total crap. To do this to your own basketball program right as the portal's opening, right as jobs are opening, This looked like to me, and I'm told it absolutely isn't, Richard Linton trying to push Jerome Tang out of the door.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how anybody couldn't think that. I mean, if anybody just looking from the outside, looking in, and you didn't know anything about the situation, and then you come in and you see this, you're like, well, what's going on here? What do you mean this was handled in November? What do you mean he said there was going to be no further comment and he's made three other comments? What do you mean he didn't allow his coach to discipline his guy and he made the decision? What are we talking about here? What's going on? That's exactly what it looks like. And look, you guys know me. I'm going to say exactly how I feel, and it's going to be, for most part, the truth. Linton doesn't understand. He is upset about how everybody is perceiving him. And so for him to try to get all of this heat off of his back, he's continuously making statements to try to justify the reasoning on what he did. Well, you know what? At some point, if you're the president, hey, I made a decision and that's the end of it.
Right.
Whether you like it or not. And that's it. But exactly. Instead, he made a decision and now he wants to justify it and then justify it and then justify it. Look, you made a decision. It was unpopular. You don't get to go back. I go, that's the end of it. That's part of leadership. You did something. You live with it. If you didn't think that was the best decision, hey, maybe you shouldn't have made the decision. That comes to mind. But this right now is the absolute worst time for him to do this.
Yep.
And yes, it looks like he's trying to push him out the door. And look, I have got channels at places at other big time universities that 100% are calling Jerome Tang about him taking a job at their university. You can probably guess who that is, but I know that for a 100% fact that is happening now. Whether it does happen or not, whether he goes, that's something different. But let's not act like he's not getting phone calls. So it's to me, it's just dumb. It's just dumb. I can call it what it is. Yep. It's just the president being a small man that can't get out of his own way and for some reason thinks he has to justify a decision that he made 4 months ago.
It's like an arsonist complaining that the house is on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you set the fire. You started this, and you keep trying to douse out the fire now with gasoline. There's some basic things here. Our friend Lee shares this. I'm hearing the Mercury article really set off Jerome Tang and company over the weekend. What can we average fans do to help best retain these coaches? I'm exceptionally frustrated with top university leadership. A lot of people are frustrated. And again, I keep pointing this out. This isn't just limited to athletics. There's academic things going on. The thing K-State fans can do is continuously let Jerome Tang know this isn't them. It's just this one man. Now, unfortunately, that one man's president. And as someone told me when I discussed this with him, if one of your bosses, even if it's not your direct boss's boss is in your business, making it hard to do your job and then complaining, you know, that you're not getting your job done, you know, it's not good enough, then get the hell out of there. And that's basically what Richard Lynn's done. But I'm told actually the opposite, that he doesn't understand why this fired it back up. He doesn't want Tang to leave. He knows he's popular and loved. This guy doesn't have self-restraint. If that's really what he feels like, then just shut up, man. Just say, hey, I've learned some things from this, but don't keep trying to litigate it. Just litigate it. It's been decided. You Correct. Decided it. It's over.
Correct.
Just say it's time as a university that we move on. They're taking away this power from him. I don't know who has the authority to do it, but he will no longer be able to kick a student athlete off a team. He, of course, as a university official, can remove someone from school, which he opted to for, you know, Naquan's, the best nature of Naquan. He deserved not to be kicked out of school. Well, maybe you could have sat him down and talked to him in person because you never did.
Yeah. And here's my question, though, is that at some point, the university, because again, this is an embarrassment. Let's not kid ourselves. This is an embarrassment to the university. At what point do people start saying, okay, we have to stop this? When do we get to stop this and say, you know what, you and what you are doing is not best for the university? So if this continues, I'm sorry, we've got to go a different direction. Look, I'm not advocating for anybody to lose their job or anything like that. I just want the guy to shut up. That's all I want, and support who he needs to support, you know, and just do that. But at some point, and again, I'm just asking questions. When do we say, hey, we got to go a different direction? This guy's killing our athletics program because it's Jerome Tang. Now it's Gene Taylor. And it is Gene Taylor. I know some people don't think, you don't think Gene Taylor's affected by this? Of course he is. Then when will it be Coach Klieman? When will it be him? That he does something to, then what are we going to do? I mean, at some point, somebody needs to stop the madness and shut the guy up.
It's crazy. This whole thing's absolute insanity. Again, I'll be addressing some of this at Wabash Station. I now read over there that there's apparently a third allegation, which there isn't. Look, if you don't have enough evidence to support your theory, just don't make it up. I mean, that's been going on since the very start of this. And honestly, again, I'm exhausted by the topic. But I'll say this, there's something cooking on campus, and I don't understand campus politics at all. I don't understand academic, you know, what their concerns are, because let's be honest, it's a weird community of people. They get worked up over stuff, but they're apparently worked up over the new provost, who sounds like he's very qualified, but he's also married to the provost at Oklahoma State. And I don't understand why that's an issue so much for the faculty, but they are up in arms about a conflict of interest here. And also that none of the press releases from Kansas State ever mentioned this, that he didn't mention his wife works at Oklahoma State in the same capacity. I think that's noteworthy. Even if you don't see it as an issue, I think it's noteworthy that both of these people are Big 12 provosts. If someone can explain to me exactly what this conflict of interest is, if the faculty thinks they're going to be sitting around the table sharing the inner workings of each university, But the campus is worked up about a lot of stuff. I mean, right. Having a major IT issue shortly after firing your IT director is not a good look. And at some point, you know, again, if you're setting things on fire, just don't complain that it's hot because you're setting things on fire. Guys, will K-State basketball be better next year than this year?
Good. We can get back to talking about hoops and not talking about the president.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Fitz, you said you were exhausted. Like, obviously Tang's frustrated with the situation, but like, we're journalists. We're supposed to cover the basketball and football teams, right? And women's basketball teams, right? Yeah. And now when Fitz, it's ironic when you tried to, you know, dive into the story, Linton got upset with you for doing your job as a journalist. But anyways, what was the question about transfer portal? What were we talking about?
Do you think the teams would be better next year?
Man, you know what? I think K-State, if I had to bet right now, the odds are for them to make the NCAA tournament, to get back to that position. I think that this year, you know, let alone the talent that K-State has next year, who they have or who they don't have, I think this 2023-24 season could be very, very beneficial for Jerome Tang and his staff to learn and be better coaches. That's not a knock on them, but I think you know, Tang talked about it when they were needing wins, right? Like, they were outside of the bubble and they needed to get some things going. I think they had lost 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8, right? And he mentioned how him and his staff, they came up with ways, little small details, to give themselves just little advantages here and there. And, you know, they believe that that worked. They didn't give us the full details on that, but it's stuff like that where, when you have a frustrating season like this where it doesn't go as planned, you do have to work a little bit harder. And for a staff like Jerome Tang has, that is hungry and has that desire to be the best, I don't think they can live with this, to be in the NIT. They want to be, Big B, you mentioned it, they want to be in the NCAA tournament every single year. That's fans' expectations. That's their expectations. Yeah. And so I think that this team will be better next year. Even if they don't have a stellar, outstanding portal class, that's fine. You're still going to have your younger foundational guys on your roster. Now, if you do get some home run hitters that are older, experienced guys in the portal, then great. But that's not like a must. Even if they don't get anybody, I would still like the guys they have on this roster right now.
I agree. I don't think they necessarily have to go out and get the top guy in the portal every year. I don't think that's necessary. I do think you have to go out and get something. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go out there and get something that can help your team, because just for the simple fact, it's available to you, you know, and you take advantage of everything that's available to you. So I think they do have to get that, but I agree with you, Gills. I think they're going to be better just for the simple fact, they're going to be pissed off that they didn't make the tournament, not just the players, but the coaches. Look, I don't think we give the coaches and the coaching staff, Tang staff, enough credit for how good those guys actually are. And they are outstanding, every single one of them. And I think for the most part, guys, I think they're embarrassed. I'll be honest with you, because they're respected around the country. They really are, this entire staff. And I think they're embarrassed to not be in the NCAA tournament. And I don't think that's going to sit well with them at all. I don't think there's going to be necessarily any more departures, but I expect a totally different attitude from this team next year, because I don't think the coaches are going to settle for anything less than somebody's best. Not that they settle for that now. I'm not saying that, but they're not going to settle for not making the tournament next. They're just not going to. They're not. So yeah. I think this team is going to be a heck of a lot better next year.
Brian, I want to follow up with a thought on Gills. I really want your thoughts on this. And this is going to confuse some K-Staters. I admit it. There were obvious issues with this team and issues that at the end of the day couldn't be corrected in midseason. Yeah, folks, Jerome Tang was thinking about next season at least a month into with a month to go. You know, I that Bill Self comment has been run into the ground. Look, when your things aren't going right, you're thinking about what Absolutely. You need for the next team. But I don't know, guys. I think this program is going to be fine. I think these coaches did an incredible job of coaching this season. Did I like the offense? No, I didn't. Did I think they had some issues that I would have played the younger guys over veteran guys? Yeah. But for the most part, when you look at the turnover stats and put them in perspective of how outrageously awful it was, how incredibly pitiful it was, what an outlier. When you look at college basketball stats and K-State is way out on a fringe by itself for doing something awful.
Yeah.
How in the hell did this team win 19 games and get into any form of postseason? How come this team didn't go, you know, like 4-14 in the conference with those turnovers? I think these coaches massaged this team and got everything out of it they could. Some guys didn't play as well as you'd want. Maybe it was the coach's fault. At the end of the day, though, the stats don't indicate a 19-win team, maybe 12. And yet, yep. Here we are. And maybe the difference was those 7 overtime games they all won between being a 12-win and 19-win team. But, oh, that goes to coaching, too. I think they coached their asses off.
Yeah, coaches and players. And going back to the point that you made, Big B, right? Like David Gasson, assuming he does come back, he went to the Elite Eight last year. And now he just went to the NIT. That's just going to add more, you know, gasoline to his tank, right? Same thing with Arthur Kaluma, his success at Creighton. He can't live with going, assuming he comes back as well, can't live with going to the NIT, right? And so the coaches, the players, everybody's going to be more bought in. But yeah, Fitz, when you're the worst team in among Power Six programs in terms of turnovers, it's insane that this team almost had a winning record in the best conference in America. It's just, it's crazy. And so, you know, maybe like we talk about Cam Carter. And I get it. I agree that I don't know how happy I was to see him continuing to play, as it may have been obvious he was checked out. But that's coaching right there. Jerome Tang was pushing his guys. Even though Cam Carter may have very well been gone, you know, his mind was elsewhere. Jerome Tang still says, you are putting on that purple uniform. You're going to give it your all, and I expect greatness from you, right? Jerome Tang has mentioned it. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he said in the past that, you know, if you don't expect greatness out of your guys or whatever, and you don't think that they can live in those moments, then you recruited the wrong players, right? So Jerome Tang expects that out of his guys. Now, obviously, it wasn't there this season, but, you know, they've got, again, that just goes back to the standard that they have, you know. And again, Mikayla Bridge, why was he not playing this year? Well, it sounded like it was some stuff maybe off the court, not giving it his all in the classroom and stuff like that. So, yeah. Mikayla Bridge, Buddy Rich would have been awesome on the court, but Jerome Tang, and this goes back to the Naquan Tomlin stuff, right? Like, if Jerome Tang wants you back on your team, a man who, you know, Will McNair was benched for a game for, like, essentially nothing, right? Like, he's got a high standard. He expects good stuff out of his guys. He's a, you know, a Christian man, and he always talks about his faith, right? So he demands greatness from you. And so maybe that's an answer for Cam Carter. I'm kind of just going on a long-winded answer here, but maybe Cam Carter was giving his all in practice, and Jerome Tang was simply rewarding him, right? Like last season, Ish Masood was portal bound by the beginning of conference play, but he still locked in and gave it his all despite what his future plans were. He played a key part in that team going to the Elite Eight. So there's a lot of stuff that does go on behind closed doors that we don't see or maybe even know about. And you know, when there are stuff that we're frustrated with that the coaching staff does, you've got to remember these guys aren't idiots. There's a reason behind every single decision they're making.
Agreed.
I 100% agree with you. I think the coaches did their best. If we're being honest with ourselves, this wasn't the most talented K-State team. And they were able to find 19 wins, kind of what you said, Fitz. They scratched out 19 wins, probably from a 12-win team. And that, I think, is the part that's more embarrassing for the coaching staff is that they let it get to this. I don't even know if they let it get to this. It got to this, unfortunately. Some of the things were clearly out of their hands, but we don't want to go down that road again. But, you know, needless to say, I see them coming back. I see them bringing in a couple of guys that are going to be – they may not be the top of the heap people that we think about, but they're going to be people that fit into what Coach Tang and the staff is trying to do that's going to make a real difference on how the team plays next year. That's kind of what I see.
Agreed. This is the K-State Insiders. It's Fitz, Big B, and Gills today. And after this, we'll have a few more thoughts on things going around in the K-State sports world. We might even peek outside the sports world real quick and talk about the NCAA tournament. Since K-State's no longer involved, we're going to have to talk about Iowa State and Houston on a K-State show. Live with it. We'll be back.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the vision is to build the world's largest consumer financial education and empowerment company. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
Well, fellas, as we wrap this show up, the Big 12 has underperformed in the NCAA championships. We know that. They only have two teams left in the Sweet 16. I didn't think there was a chance in hell this would happen. I didn't either.
I thought they'd have four. And to have two is disappointing. And the way that it happened, it to me is even more disappointing. I mean, there are opportunities and I don't know. It's not a good look. If we're just being honest, it's not a good look for the conference. The ACC, who we all think, and for all intents and purposes, is going to be over with this summer, have four. It's ridiculous. I mean, and even if you think about it, because Virginia should have never even been in the tournament. If they're not in the tournament and they don't get replaced by another ACC team, they literally would be undefeated in this thing. You know, and the Big 12 should have had a better showing. I heard all over the airwaves today about how the Big 12 manipulated the net to have such a high rating. And it's just bad. I mean, it's just bad. You got to perform. It's kind of what we talk about in football, guys, when it comes down to the college football playoff. You got to go win some games. Same thing in the NCAA tournament, man. You got to go win games. You just do.
Yeah, it's frustrating. The Big 12 is such a physical conference, right? And there are different officials that are in the NCAA tournament. I'm not making excuses, but that Houston game from Sunday evening, right? Like, how many whistles were blown against the Cougars? Oh. They had their entire starting five foul out, and so it stinks to put an entire season's worth of work, into a 40-minute game. And you know, it's you look at the Big 12, KU is always like a guarantee to make the Sweet 16. Well, KU this year was bad. Like, that was if they don't have Bill Self as the head coach, I'm not sure if that's an NCAA tournament team altogether without right. Dickinson or McColler being healthy, right? No way. But the Big 12's tough, guys. We all know that. And it stinks that they underperformed in March Madness here so far. And obviously, I think Houston's got a lot of potential, as does Iowa State. And you guys are going to, you know, break that down with Alec on the Big 12 Insiders, correct? But It does stink, but at the end of the day, yeah, they didn't live up to their expectations in the postseason games where it matters most. Like BYU losing to Duquesne, I love it from a Pittsburgh team. I love it, but it's, you know, BYU, you got to be better than that.
Yeah.
BYU and Tech. Oh, come on, guys.
What? Yeah.
I don't know. But at the end of the day, if they win and get to the Elite Eight, which I expect, then you got two there. But you just never know. I know this. Out of the 16 teams on the board still, if you pick the four best, the best team from each region, you might get three right, but it's probably going to be two. I mean, that's how chaotic the NCAA tournament can become. It's just, you know, a 40-minute snapshot. And if you don't look good in that snapshot, you're going home. Yeah. And Houston almost went home, as Gil's pointed out. They got into a foul fest, high-scoring game, not necessarily their MO, but they survived Texas A&M in what was an interesting second-round matchup by the committee to take the team from Houston that doesn't have a huge following and pit them up against a team very close to Houston with an entire cult. Yeah. I just thought it was an interesting pairing up. But Houston Cougars do advance. Iowa State's playing extremely good basketball. I'm hoping they both can say something. And honestly, I think the best thing, the only thing that would be a saving grace to the Big 12, Brian, we've talked about this basketball contract over and over and over. And this going to pain K-Staters to see Iowa State in the Final Four. But if Iowa State, Houston, and Arizona can make it to the Final Four, I think Brett Yormark's going to be like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. They might have gotten beat out in some early rounds, but if you want to judge SEC football by the very top level, then maybe the Big 12 should get the same treatment.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that would save it. That literally would save what's going on here. It's going to be tough because Iowa State being in a conference or in the same bracket with UConn, yeah. Lord have mercy. UConn is so good, but Iowa State has an opportunity. They just do. Houston has an opportunity. Arizona, obviously, they have all these teams have opportunities. So I think that would have to be what would save it, because right now it doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. But it can be salvaged. It can be salvaged. But yeah, I hate coming back to this, but it's just the truth. You want respect around the country, you got to go earn it.
Yep.
And in the biggest tournament in the country, this is bigger than any other tournament that we have. I mean, pro anything. It's the biggest tournament that the country has. And if you don't go out there and show it and you lay an egg, how are you going to get that national respect? You just don't. And it's the same thing in football. You got to go win. And when BYU loses to Duquesne, and it's not that they lost to Duquesne. They got physically whipped by Duquesne. That's the problem. It's not, hey, you know what? We missed a ton of shots and we just didn't win. Okay, you can live with that. You don't like it, but you can live with it. Not to get physically beat up by Duquesne. For that to happen, that makes it even worse. And Tech just didn't show up. I mean, I have no idea what was going on in that game. I know NC State, they're decent. Don't get me wrong, but they just didn't show up and they got humiliated. I mean, if we're being honest, they got humiliated. So I don't know. I like the chances though. I mean, what would really salvage this if Iowa State and Houston met in the final game? I mean, if that happened, I mean, you know, again, as K-State fans, yes, that's going to stink. Trust me. Iowa State being a national championship game, Lord have mercy. But if it happened, hey, the Big 12 could stand up and say, hey, here we are. So
Texas Tech is narcoleptic. They're like, hey, we're in the Big 12 or the big dance. Let's go play a game. And just they just went to sleep right at the biggest moment of their season. It's very frustrating for all who watching. Shout out to the Red Raider fans out there. I'm sorry you went through that. It could be worse. You could have had Bruce Weber as your coach, and that's almost all you got except for one season. Just if they made the tournament, someone was going to beat them. Someone that shouldn't beat them.
Yeah,
that's it. I've kind of dug up all the old stuff, Gills, on this episode. I'm not taking shots at Bruce Weber. Do you think Bruce Weber gets back in coaching, Gills?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much. Is he still not with the Big Ten Network? I haven't really kept up on it. Okay. Maybe he's found his happy place there. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, and when you got a voice like that, everyone wants to listen. That's it for this edition of the K-State Insiders. We had a lot of people in here listening to me rant. And again, if you're a member of Wabash Station at some point this week, when I feel like the timing's right, I'll let you know everything else that's been going on behind the scenes, stuff that I had no plans on sharing. I wanted to, believe me, when you hear what it is, right, Gills? It's worth sharing, but I also respected the wishes of the parties involved to let this go, but it didn't get let go.
Yeah. Get your popcorn ready.
That's it for the Insiders. Thanks for watching.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.